What if the most trustworthy person you could ever know is the one who literally can't betray you? Not because they promise not to, but because betrayal contradicts their very nature. This isn't a thought experiment, it's the foundation of divine holiness. If God is holy, then he can't sin. If he can't sin, then he can't sin against you. Shouldn't that make him the most reliable being in existence? Yet holiness often feels cold, distant, even frightening. We picture stern judgment rather than stunning beauty. But what if we've misunderstood holiness entirely? What if God's holiness isn't what pushes us away, but what draws us close? The very thing that makes him not just powerful, but trustworthy, not just sovereign, but safe. 50 days after fleeing Egypt, the Israelites stood at Mount Sinai's base as the mountain erupted in smoke and fire, shaking violently while thunder crashed and an impossibly loud trumpet blast pierced the air. This wasn't a nature documentary moment. This was an encounter with the living God. Unlike Egypt's lifeless idols, this God commanded nature itself. The ground trembled, the people trembled. One truth became undeniable. This God is fundamentally other. To say God is holy means God is God. His holiness isn't an attribute he developed, it's his essential nature. When God loves, it's holy love. When God judges, it's holy judgment infused with love. This holiness threads through salvation history. In creation, everything God made was good, reflecting his own goodness. Even after sin shattered the world, God's holiness remained unchanged. His judgment on sin wasn't a contradiction of his goodness, but an expression of it. Many want God to overlook evil, essentially asking him to violate his own nature. But to want God to withhold justice is to want him to become less than God. In Isaiah's vision, 6-winged seraphim continuously cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." This triple repetition, unique among God's attributes, emphasizes his absolute holiness. The Hebrew root means to cut or to separate. God is holy because he's fundamentally set apart from everything else, not just morally pure, but transcendently other. Think of special china, kept separate from everyday dishes, set apart, unique, metaphorically, holy. But while created things become holy by being set apart unto God, God is inherently separate by his very nature. When Isaiah encountered this holy God, he cried, "Woe is me!" God's perfect purity illuminates our imperfections like a spotlight in a dusty room. Jesus reveals the same divine holiness. Even demons recognized him as the Holy One of God. When tempted in the wilderness, he demonstrated holiness by refusing to use divine power selfishly. He is the image of the invisible God, the complete exposition of God's hidden reality made visible. Our faith in God's promises flows from who we believe God to be. Unbelief begins not with doubting a promise, but with undervaluing God's character. This is the root of all sin. Consider Eve in the garden. She took from the forbidden tree when she believed the serpent over God, treating him as the liar. Though we rarely say this openly, our lives reveal our beliefs. How we live shows what we believe about God. Why do we resist truth? Because it demands everything. If God is holy, then all he says is true and all he does is good. Our doubt often comes from projecting onto God the nature of those who've hurt us. But God cannot sin against us. If he could, he wouldn't be God. Even in suffering, he remains holy and compassionate, present in our pain with the promise of redemption. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Yet we often worship little gods elevated in our hearts. When Israel grew impatient waiting for Moses, they asked Aaron to make them gods. Their language revealed the absurdity, since a true God cannot be made. Idolatry exchanges the holy for the profane. Unlike God, who exists as I am, eternally existent and self-sufficient, idols are completely dependent and powerless. Modern idols include sexual identity, relationships, money, politics, and social media. Anything created that we elevate to ultimate status. These broken cisterns may provide temporary satisfaction, but ultimately fail because they weren't designed to fulfill our deepest needs. Social media thrives on our discontent with being known and loved by God alone. Every post reveals where we find value and identity. Through it, we mimic divine attributes, omniscience through feeling we know everything, and omnipresence through accessing others' lives. We're building modern towers of Babel, climbing to peek into heaven and declare ourselves God. The surface idol appears to be social media, but at the root, the idol is ourselves. Gospel presentations should begin with God is holy, not you're a sinner. Without God's holiness, sin lacks moral boundaries. His holiness demands justice, as his eyes are too pure to look on evil. Some claim God is love means he overlooks sin, yet we instinctively demand justice when witnessing injustice. This moral sense reflects God's image in us. Scripture abundantly demonstrates God's wrath. The flood, Sodom and Gomorrah's destruction, Adam's death after disobedience, Uzzah struck dead for touching the ark. We struggle with these judgments because we have a low view of sin and holiness. The great dilemma. How can God be both merciful and just? The answer is Christ, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. On the cross, Jesus absorbed God's wrath so believers would never experience it. In Christ, God is both just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. This is the gospel's otherworldly wisdom. The undeserving need only offer faith in exchange for pardon. Sanctification begins with the Holy Spirit's work. Without him, becoming holy is futile. In our natural state, we are spiritually dead, unable to respond to God. The Spirit performs the miracle of regeneration, replacing our heart of stone with a heart of flesh and implanting God's nature within us. After making us alive, the Spirit makes us holy by giving us holy vision. We become what we behold. Idol worshippers become like their idols, while those who see God are transformed into his image. Spiritual blindness means failing to recognize God as supreme beauty, causing us to live as if everything else is more beautiful than him, the sin beneath all sins. Yet, beholding requires active participation. We behold Christ's glory in Scripture, where he is revealed as the fulfillment of all biblical imagery. But reading isn't enough. We must believe what we see. When we believe Jesus is the bread of life, we find complete satisfaction in him that leaves no room for sinful desires. The only way to dispossess the heart of an old affection is by the expulsive power of a new one. Being satisfied in God makes us independent of our environment, no longer needing people or circumstances for happiness. As we behold Christ, we become like him.